Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of the Pitching In NPL show for the month of May. We're recording this on Monday, the 30th of May, and joining me here, it's Simo, Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm really well. It's nice to be back. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. And social media officer James Hayes joins us too. Hello, James.
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
We're also going to be joined by some special guests this week as well to cover off some other bits of the Northern Premier League. We've got Mark Carruthers joining us, and we're also going to be joined by Andrew Snaith, and we've got Thomas Fina as well. The idea of this month's show is we've got together this month just to have a little bit of a catch-up, just our thoughts on how the season panned out in the end and how the Northern Premier League Premier Division is shaping up as we head towards the summer and pre-season, because pre-season will definitely be with us in about a month's time, and that's when it really ramps up. Simo, just a general vibe, we're losing, obviously, Buxton and Scarborough. We're gaining Guiseley, more on them in a second. We're also gaining some ambitious clubs, I'm going to say, from Step 4 too. What's your thoughts on how the Northern Premier League shaping up for next season?
Well, at the risk of everyone reaching for their cliche klaxon, I think it's going to get even harder than it has been this season. That's largely because of just how ambitious and how strong the promoted teams from Step 4 are going to be. So, dear listener, if you've missed the league allocations, we've got Liversedge and Mask United coming up from the East Division, Belper from the Midlands playoff winners, and then Warrington Rylands and Marine from the West Division. Now, normally you'd look at promoted teams and think that largely they're going to look to be consolidating and you know, the gap between Step 4 and Step 3, can they bridge it? And those sorts of questions. Well, the answer for most of those is they're going to bridge it comfortably, and also they've got the resources and the backing to put together strong teams to challenge in the top half of the table, I would wager. So that's why I think it's going to get even harder next season to survive, to thrive in the Premier Division. But for us as observers, that, of course, is only a good thing.
Absolutely. And James, just to talk about allocations, because we're not quite at the AGM Cup. So whatever we say on this week's show, on this month's show, got to take it with a pinch of salt, because there's appeals going on and all kinds of stuff, isn't there? Because there are some teams who are on the borders of things who might yet still join us or might yet leave us. So,
yeah, I mean, in fairness, the AGM Cup should start to finish up in the next couple of weeks, because obviously we've got our own AGM starting next Saturday. So once that's been cleared, that's it. The teams are locked in. But yeah, before four divisions, they're all shaping up to be really interesting next season. I mean, the number of teams there that have the capability to switch around and save themselves in most cases or go on late playoff pushes, it's going to be interesting, because again, you already see number of teams that are rebuilding. A lot of legendary players at clubs either retiring this year as well. Danny Lambert at Everton Colliery, Michael Potts taking a break at FC United. A lot of players are being snapped up by the National League North sides at this moment too, Jacob Hazel. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there, especially with the fact as well you've got more Northern League sides involved. We've got a Yorkshire team backing, two Yorkshire teams.
I'm getting some Scarborough fans in touch. Scarborough is in Yorkshire, just to confirm.
Scarborough,
and we are too. But you meant the middle bit, didn't you? The West Yorkshire bit.
That's what I was in, the West, Western Central. Don't forget, we've lost all the Nottingham sides as well, so there'll be quite a few players potentially moving around the leagues this year. So it's going to be interesting to see who ends up moving where.
Speaking of these clusters that we've got, I mean, the big cluster looks to me like there was already a big Greater Manchester contingent, but Cheshire is now hugely represented here. If I can throw Marine into that Cheshire setup as well. But it is a very clustered area, isn't it? Goes right down to Matlock and Belper here, Simo.
Yeah, it is. And I made the comment online going into the playoffs, kind of there might be quite a sizable realignment of kind of the hierarchy in Cheshire, depending on the outcome of the playoffs. And obviously, Warrington Rylands stepping up to the Premier Division for the first time, and Runcorn Linnets were challenging to do that as well. And obviously, in the mix with the team that I report on, Witton Albion going down, there was kind of this really interesting dynamic in kind of change of the pecking order. There has still been Some shuffling with Rylance, like I say, making that step up, joining Nantwich, which was they've also got that derby to look forward to against Warrington Town. Not sure Warrington Town will be looking forward to it in the same with the same anticipation, but we shall see. But yeah, I think you're right. Kind of how the league is tilted will make it quite interesting. And because several of these clubs coming up are first timers, it does kind of refresh the division as well, doesn't it?
I think after 3 years as well, because don't forget this is the first movement all the clubs have had in the Premier Division. It's going to bring a bit more life into it. Especially with six new sides getting involved as well, and going back to finally a little bit more normality in terms of promotion and relegation, because it's been 5 years to where it's not been, you're going to miss out on a play if you get win the playoff, you might not go up, or there's extra promotions. So a sign of normality is getting back to a normal routine a little bit, I think.
Well, we were just discussing Yorkshire there. Let's discuss Yorkshire in a bit more detail now, and the two teams who'll be joining us from West Yorkshire, both Liversidge and Guiseley, in next season's NPL Premier Division. And there's only one person we could go to now to discuss non-league football in Yorkshire, and that's Mr. Thomas Feeney. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. For the first time in a while, we've got actual clubs from West Yorkshire in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. One team, I'm imagining, very happy to be there. Another team, not so much. Where would you like me to start? Do you want me to start with the team delighted to be there?
Yeah, let's soften the blow a little bit and get the good news in.
Okay. Well, Liversidge. Liversidge have had such a cracking season. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about, you know, the managers who've had cracking years. Jonathan Ribbiton, I think it's safe to say, has had a phenomenal year, a phenomenal tenure, really, at Liversidge. I mean, what do you think's possible for them next year?
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because when they gained that promotion from the NCL Premier, it was kind of like, this is a team with momentum. They were able to keep a lot of the players and obviously improve as well. And when a team goes up and their run of form before it all was good, and, you know, they were a side that deserved promotion, they were a team where if things had remained normal, they would have gone up anyway. So when they went up, it was kind of like, right, let's see, can certain players make the step up? Obviously, a lot of their squad have got the experience of playing in leagues higher, but what an incredible campaign it was. And to be in a position where there was a genuine team behind them at all times, you know, they knew that one big slip up and they would be in the playoffs. For it to go down to almost the wire like it did, and, you know, in the end, the scenes that were involved, and what an achievement it has been for them. And it's kind of one of those of what can be done next. Well, they'll improve. This is the thing, that the squad will improve. You know, some would say that kind of right now they've got a team which in the NPL Premier will more than be able to be capable of putting up a challenge, you know, maybe definitely in the upper echelons of the table. I don't think it'd be a side that we would be, you know, right near the bottom, but they'll improve. They will bring players in. And where can they be? Well, you know, maybe a month or two down the line, let's see what kind of calibre of player they've been able to get in. But they're going to be in this division and they're going to be going all for it, aren't they? You know, they're a team that they've got that winning mentality, and it's something that they'll want it to continue.
Yeah, and just a bit of a memory for everyone, they beat Scarborough 4-0 in the FA Trophy in October, and they also beat Basford, didn't they, before being knocked out eventually by Lancaster City. But they've shown what they're capable of as a step four club. Be interesting to know what they're capable of as a step three club. That then takes me, sadly for you, Thomas, to Guiseley. Just a bit of transparency for the listener. Thomas is a very big Guiseley fan. Obviously, Guiseley's been in the NPL Premier before, but what's your thoughts on how this has happened? Because it was a toss-up, wasn't it, between Guiseley and Farsley. Blythe Spartans were in and around it for a while, but someone had to get relegated, and it was Guiseley. What's the mood in the club like as we head towards pre-season and hopefully, from a Guiseley perspective, bouncing back first time?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one, because if you'd have asked me kind of the day after, I don't think I'd have answered my phone, to be honest with you, because I've got to say this, it was horrible. And the journey back from Alfreton was just one of misery. I mean, it was just going through all the games and going, right, well, points were dropped there, and oh, more points dropped there. And you know, to get to the 88th minute and to be thinking, right, just hold on and that's it, safety's ensured. But it was coming. You could feel from about the 80th minute, Alfreton, just the goals were coming. And kind of taking the bias away from it, I do think the right team went down in terms of how the season went and kind of the mistakes that had been made. But when looking kind of forward, the managerial appointment, first of all, is kind of one of those where it just ticks so many boxes. Danny Ellis and Danny Forrest, two players who know the club inside out. Danny Ellis, who, in terms of his coaching role within the academy, he's played a massive part in seven or eight players getting into the Football League, and he's played such a good role in that. And then a few signings being announced as well, and kind of players that, you know, are known to the club, but players that are known to the club in doing well, you know, a league or two above. You know, take Jake Cassidy, someone who did, you know, a decent enough job in the National League for Guiseley, and someone who Danny Ellis knows really well from their time at Darlington together. So it's a weird one, because recruitment-wise, I would say they've gone down the route they'd have gone down if they were a National League team still. So I think there are, you know, there's certainly positives. This is a side that if all the players have got in, it has to be a team that are going for the playoff places. And I'd like to think that'll be the case. I am maybe being a little bit biased in saying that, but all in all, I think there's certainly been enough positive reaction to what's happened to think that something good could come this campaign.
And with regards to this past season and how it's gone more generally in the NPL, obviously, like I said, we are going to have two teams from West Yorkshire at last back in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. But what do you think this derby next season is going to be like, this Liversidge-Guiseley match encounter that's going to be happening in the league?
It's an interesting one, because obviously the gap between the two sides for so long has been, you know, it's been there where it's kind of neither team have, you know, got to the point of facing each other for the last few years. So it'll be, I mean, it's a game I'm looking forward to, you know, the away game, especially in terms of going to Liversidge, because I love the ground. I think it's one of the few grounds where you can actually sit on a park bench and watch a game of football, which I love doing that when I go. So it's going to be a good game. And I think, you know, for me, and again, I'll be biased in saying this, it's a game where I hope both teams are, you know, when they face, I presume this will be the festive fixture. I'd like to think at that point, both teams will have kind of set themselves in and be very much up the table, rather than either team being in any sort of relegation battle at that point of the campaign.
Yes, and just to outline, I've just gone on Google Maps to see how far the two grounds are. 14 miles, which to Andrew Snaith up in Whitby is technically a derby. So there we go. It's a derby, official. Speaking of Andrew Snaith, we're going to be joined by him shortly. I'm going to ask him a little bit about Scarborough, but I'm more going to ask him about Mask and Whitby. So I might as well ask you about Scarborough as well, because we are discussing on this week's show, Thomas, just about, you know, managers of the season, the ones who've had standout years. I think Jonathan Greenan, it has to be said, barring the first few months of the season, they've not really looked back, have they? It was an incredible rise up the table and an incredible finish to the campaign. They're in the National League North next season. Jonathan Greening's has had a cracking season as a manager, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to say MPL manager, Premier manager of the season, to me, it has to be Jonathan Greening, because kind of, you know, a couple of months in, it really did look like they were on shaky ground. The results weren't going well. And the way that football is nowadays, a team goes on a run where they don't win a few games, all of a sudden people go, oh, well, you know, what's going on with their future? And the big thing for me was the way Jonathan kind of conducted himself when the run really had to, you know, kind of hit the worst bit it hit. And it was just the way that he was kind of like, no, I trust these players, we'll be all right. And obviously then three or four games later where they've won a few, people are going, oh, right, you know, yeah, he seems to know something here. And really, you know, went into December, maybe with one or two question marks, and that were it. Then after that, it's just been you know, they then all of a sudden, a few weeks after that, were that team that, a bit like with Warrington, where the last 2-3 months of the season, they were always just in them two playoff places where you're going, right, minus one of those teams going on a dreadful run, they'll do it. And to do what they did in the playoffs, and obviously, you know, what they achieved in terms of attendances and in terms of kind of the feel-good factor within the area. I think Jonathan Greening went in as someone who fans wanted to succeed because he's from the area, you know, he knows a lot about the club, and now he has to be deemed a club legend. If he wasn't beforehand, for what he'd achieved in the game as a player, you know, he's certainly done something with Scarborough now.
Yeah, absolutely. And some fantastic attendances towards the end of the season as well. And that points to hopefully a good springboard for Scarborough as they head up into the National League North. But Thomas Feeney, that's your bit of the show done and dusted. For a whole season, you've been coming on the show, month in, month out, to help us look ahead to fixtures and keep abreast of how the season's shaping up. It's been a long season, so I'll let you have a couple of months off now to recuperate. But before you go, just a quick plug for your work and how people could keep across your non-league musings as we head towards the summer months.
Yeah, well, it's Twitter at Thomas Feeney. And I've got to say, there's going to be a fair bit more interest in the NPL Premier going forward.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Well, Thomas, big thank you for joining us, and you have a lovely summer.
Same to you, mate.
And a big thank you to Thomas Feeney for joining us this week. Simo, two contrasting ways of looking at it, really. Geisley won't really want to be at this level for too long, but Liversidge, I've already spoke to their manager in the past, absolutely delighted to be at step three. Do you see these two being top-end contenders this year?
Possibly. Geisley depends on the rebuild. We see this often, don't we, of teams that come down, they'll lose players, and then it'll be interesting to see who they can attract to come and help them back up again. I mean, I've covered the Northern Premier League for long enough to remember when Geisley were last members of it. They were promoted as champions as far back as 2009-2010. So they've been out of the Northern Premier League for quite some time in the National League North, and also very briefly, of course, in the National League as well. So it's a fair while since they've competed at this level. They've had a managerial change. So Danny Ellis has been appointed as the new manager. I think he is going to sign on as a player, and he's going to be assisted by Danny Forrest. And again, it makes me feel very old because I remember watching those two very often as players coming to take on whether Witton Albion or Northwich Victoria in the past. So it's a bit of a rookie manager team. Danny Ellis not been a manager before. Danny Forrest has. He's been gathering really valuable experience at Silsden. So we're not quite sure how they're going to shape up. The fact that it is such an unforgiving division, I think they're going to find it difficult. But if they can make that adjustment quickly, then yes, they'll give themselves a chance. Liversedge, super ambitious, and you'd expect them to strengthen their team. So they definitely will be a team to look out for, to challenge in the top half of the table. So yeah, answer your question, yes, I do expect them to challenge.
Well, let's go to our next guest now, and let's go to the Yorkshire coast. Later, we'll be going a bit further up the coast, as we'll be discussing the North East contingents of Morpeth Town and South Shields. But before that, let's discuss Whitby Town and Mass United now. And it's a big welcome back to the show to Coastal County Sports presenter. It's Mr. Andrew Snaith. We've got you on just to catch up, really, talk about Whitby Town. Talk a bit about Mass United as well and your expectations for what's possible for them this season. But just generally, how have you found this year as a broadcaster, someone who follows non-league football on that North Yorkshire coast, especially around Whitby Town? I mean, how have you found this season?
I'm sure most Whitby fans would be maybe a tad disappointed we've lost our local derby, but we'll say no more about that. But Whitby themselves have had a good season. I think, you know, seventh spot is probably around where people would hope we would finish, in and around the playoffs. That was my ambition before the start of the season, to be in and around, and we were. A couple of decent little mini runs in the national competitions. York knocked us out of the FA Cup, Nantwich out of the FA Trophy, so we didn't disgrace ourselves there. So all in all, I think an above average season. But hoping to do, we would have hoped to crack on better this coming season. But I think losing, the league's leading scorer is going to be a big blow, and it's going to be very difficult to replace Jacob Hazel for Whitby.
Yeah, Jacob Hazel's had a cracking season. I think everyone can agree with that. But so's Lee Bullock and Nathan Haslam. And I'm having a chat on the show this week just about, you know, which managers have performed well this year. And, you know, this is their first proper season, isn't it? With a bit of a run up, and they've performed brilliantly, I think, as a management duo.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I would agree with that. Yeah, and I think it would have been interesting to see how the other two seasons would have played out if we'd have been able to complete them. Certainly the first one, 2019-2020, we were still in with a shout of a playoff place. So they've been consistent throughout. Maybe almost assisted a little bit by the pandemic, I suppose, because, you know, there hasn't been as many ins and outs during that period for obvious reasons. So we've managed to keep the same squad pretty much all the way through. But you know, now you're seeing Whitby players move on. There's been a great deal, as I mentioned, Jacob Hazel, Jasm Shuk has followed him to Darlington as well, the left back. Adam Gell has gone to Mask United, who I'm sure you'll talk a bit more about later. So not quite a mass exodus, but there's been a few feathers ruffled by some of the players that have gone.
And you've touched upon it already, just about Scarborough Athletic season that they've had. I've already spoken to Thomas Feeney, so I'm not going to put you through that torment. But you lose that derby, but you gain another with Mass United. And at this point, for one last time this season, I have to ask you the question, is it a derby? 20 miles or so up the coast. Is it a derby?
I suppose, Ben, yeah. Whitby's history, I think we're a lot more generous in what we count as derbies on this side, because we don't have as many of them. So we have to cling on to whatever we can. But Mask and Whitby met a few times in the Northern League. I think it's maybe we'll feel more of a derby by the fact that there is a lot of former Whitby Town players in that Mask United lineup. There's Dill Hobson in the midfield, Kev Burgess in centre-half, Andy May at centre-half, Curtis Round as well, another left-back at Mask, who's former Whitby. Full of them, to be fair. So it will certainly feel like a derby, I think.
While I've got you here, Andrew, just before we talk about, you know, next season and that, just a thought for Craig Farrell as well. He was a bit of a Whitby Town legend. He was there for a few seasons, wasn't he? Really sad news this past week.
Absolutely tragic, yeah. Just 39 years old. You know, same age as myself. And as you say, he was a bit of a legend at Whitby Town. Scored a number of goals in a 7-0 win over his old club, Blyth Spartans, which never does him any harm. Scored in the 3-1 win at FC United and Manchester. Sorry to bring that up, Ben, but you may well have been at that game. and seen some of the quality that he supplied on that occasion. But yeah, he was a terrific player. Also, a good person as well. He was somebody, you know, you're often as a journalist end up with players on your social media, and obviously you want to have all your contacts and everything for your work. But he was also somebody I'd spoken to casually as well, just a few months back. Yeah, and you think about his young family at this time. It's desperately sad, Ben. Really, really sad. And you know, my social media has just been full of players that he's played alongside, his mates, Whitby Town supporters, lots and lots of them just expressing that sadness, that grief.
Well, sending our best to family and friends of Craig Farrell. Well, Andrew Snaith, just before you go, we do need to talk about next season and just your hopes for pre-season. And are you looking forward to pre-season? We have to ask you that question, because this has been the mother of all seasons, hasn't it? It's taken 10 months or so, and here we are chatting right at the end of it all. A month after it's finished, really. How much are you looking forward to the break, and then how much are you looking forward to getting back underway with pre-season and getting back to that race for the playoffs and promotion again?
I love football, Ben, so I absolutely hate anything without football. Saturday afternoon without football is very saddening for me. So while I don't particularly like friendlies, and I think as a fellow commentator, you'll probably know why. It's a very difficult time because we don't have all the information. Commentaries are impossible because it's trialist, and then trialist on the left, the guy with the dark hair passes it. You know what I mean? We have no idea. Yeah. We have no clue.
Who's number 38? Who's he play for? Why has that guy got no number on his back? What's going on? Is he a spectator that's run on the pitch?
It's awful, isn't it? Yeah, pre-season is absolutely dreadful for commentators. But yeah, I mean, from a supporter's perspective and from just, you know, a big football fan's perspective, I'm curious about it, but I wouldn't say it's my favourite time of year. But I'm curious about the transfers, who's coming in, who's coming out, seeing the team build, hopefully. And I feel like Whitby, it's something I discussed with Paul Connolly, who, fellow Whitby Town anorak like myself, who's going to come in, who isn't, and he's of the feeling that Whitby will do a lot of business late in the summer. He might be right, and I think a lot of clubs will actually, because you have players that go to the league clubs and then the conference clubs, and then they might not snap them up, and then they come a bit further downstream. And I think Whitby will do a lot of business maybe later on in the summer. I've every confidence in the management that we'll be competitive next season. Will we make the playoffs finally? I wouldn't want to commit to that at the moment, but I'm looking forward to seeing how they go.
After this season, Andrew, it's a brave man who make a prediction for the playoffs. Couldn't even make that prediction in March, could we? Let's remember. Or even April. So, yeah.
Someone will throw one on the air in the Facebook group, won't they?
Yeah, exactly. I'm certainly not going to get you to pin your colours to the mast in June. That'd be ridiculous. But, yeah, Andrew Stafe, it's been an absolute pleasure. Big happy summer to yourself, to Paul Connolly, everyone at Whitby Town. And big thank you for joining us throughout the season, Andrew. And have a lovely summer and catch up in August.
It's been a pleasure, Ben, as always. Thanks very much.
Andrew Snaith there from Coastal County Radio joining us here on this month's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. We are going to be joined by Mark Rover shortly to discuss Morpeth Town and South Shields. But, Simo, just talk to you about, the clubs that are leaving us. So Scarborough leaving us, but also Buxton. And we're probably going to be losing. We're going to be losing Basford and Micklover. I mean, just a thought on Micklover and Basford. Micklover, they eventually got going, didn't they? And yeah. I think that's definitely a springboard for next season, whatever league Micklover find themselves in. But I think Basford as well. Basford are probably due a better season next year. So I suppose some clubs who might fancy themselves in and around the playoffs next season are probably glad those two clubs are leaving us.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to come on to managers shortly, but just on Micklover, because of how other teams have performed this season, it's kind of gone a little bit under the radar that a 12th place finish for them is, I make it, their best ever, their highest ever finish in the National League system. They were 13th a couple of years ago, but 12th just kind of nudges the dial for them. So brilliant job from John McGrath. Obviously, we discussed many times on the show kind of their recovery in the second half of the season. They went that brilliant run at the turn of the year, didn't they, to kind of shoot away from danger at the bottom of the table. And they kind of kept the relegation battle at arm's length ever since then. They never really looked likely to drop back into it again. So a really solid, steady season for them, and they'll be looking to kick on and build on that next season. Based with the complete opposite, it was almost a disastrous season for them. And let's have it right. They kind of set their stall out under Steve Chettle at the start of the season, albeit with changes in their team, but they had set their stall out to challenge for the playoffs, and they couldn't have been much further away in the end. So big summer for them, important summer for them. They'll want to kind of put that right. The noise is coming out of the club from the management team and also from the boardroom suggests that they're very much focused, very much determined to avoid a repeat of that, and they only scored 32 goals, so it's no prizes for guessing where most of the rebuild is going to come, and that'll be in attack. But I do expect them to do much better. It was far too close for comfort.
Well, obviously, we look at the teams, the top five that are coming, the five side that are joining us next year. Liversedge again, even though they've just lost Lewis Whittam in the last couple of hours, so Alfreton Town, maybe what we said before, you expect them to be building, and again, they've got a good core of players nearby. Mass United, Adam Boyes, if he stays there next season, he's going to be, I reckon he's going to have a great shout at the Golden Boot in Premier Division as well. So you've got to look at them sort of players coming in. Wanton Island, Belvertown, again, a point to prove in the Premier Division. And if they played like they did in the Midlands playoff final, the majority of that team will cause problems. And then Marine, of course, they're going to get in fouls and crowds and match. This is going to be a very, very different league with five sides coming in.
Obviously, we're losing Baseford and Michelover. Two clubs who were on the border, Stafford Rangers and Gainsborough, they're kind of heading into it in different ways, really. The Stafford Rangers have announced, you know, the management team there with Matt Hill, that's continuing their great work. We'll be discussing the managers in a second on the show, but a lot more solid at Stafford. Gainsborough, it's a club, you know, with new management in place, and it's going to be a bit different next season. So, interesting, the two contrasts there for those two teams.
I mean, with Gainsborough now a little bit, I think they're used to being an outlier team as such in where they are in the country. Obviously, with Grantham gone, we are going to have a little bit more travelling compared to most other sides. But I'm going to throw Matlock and Belper into this situation now as well, because of how the allocations went. They're now pretty much borderline teams themselves. So again, Matlock are going to be looking in over the shoulder next couple of seasons. So again, if more sides come from the Northern League, like North Shields, Shieldon, and sides like that start continue how they did in the last couple of seasons, they could find themselves in the Southern League a couple of years' time. So I think, we've just out of interest in them, obviously, with Matlock Town, with how they ran this season, and they pushed all the top five sides to the very, very end. It was only the last 2-3 weeks of the season they fell away from the title race. Let's not forget that. If they can keep calling that team, they're going to be very, very strong as well.
And I touched upon Stafford Rangers and the brilliant work Matt Hill has done this past season. Certainly a bit of a springboard, and from a Stafford Rangers perspective, a springboard to next season, challenging a bit closer towards the playoffs maybe. But, you know, there'll be clubs like Nantwich and Ashton United who probably think, with the form that they had in the second half of the season, they too can launch themselves towards the playoffs. And then you've got clubs like Stalybridge Celtic and Atherton Colls, who were fairly comfortable, really, for large portions of the season in mid-table, who might want to go a bit further next year. Feel like I should mention everyone in the league now. But let's go to the North East, and let's talk about South Shields, who, you know, just missed out on the automatic promotion spots and then fell short in the playoffs this season. It's going to be very, very interesting what's going on at Mariners Park over the summer, and how they shape up heading into the brand new season. But to discuss how the North East contingent shape up for next year, let's welcome back a dear old friend to the show now. It's Mr. Mark Carruthers. Well, Mark, a big welcome back to the show. And, well, we're wrapping the show up for this season. I mean, what's your thoughts on how it's all panned out with South Shields? Obviously, wanted to get promoted, but it didn't happen for them. For Morpeth, apart from the bad start, it's been an epic season for them. So what's your sense on how it's panned out for the North East clubs?
Yeah, I think obviously South Shields, it's another sort of delay on the plans that they've wanted to put in place. I think it's been well versed that they want to progress towards the Football League, which is easier said than done, as many clubs have proven over the last few years. It's been a strange season in some senses. Obviously, started off with the major progression into the full-time status. And I think we said earlier in the season that I'm not massively sure in terms of fitness how much difference that makes in terms of, you know, semi-professional to professional. I think it's probably more the organisation, the tactical side of it, the day-by-day sort of contact with the players. I think what probably got them was their away record, and that's what cost them the league title and promotion. I mean, you can't lose the amount of away games that they did, particularly in the second half of the season, and expect to win any league. Buxton were outstanding champions, probably won it based on more consistent performances and investment at the right times with the right players. But it's another blow to South Shields, but one that now they're in a kind of crossroads. I think obviously Kevin Phillips is in there as manager. He'll want to put his own print on the squad through the summer, and we'll see what happens. But in terms of Morpeth, if their second half of the season had been replicated in the first half, we'd probably be talking about them being champions the way that, you know, since Craig Lynch has gone in there, just turned things around, didn't really make too many additions, worked with a squad that he largely inherited, barring maybe one or two loan signings, and just did a phenomenal job. Great runs in the FA Cup and the FA Trophy, both ended by York City, who obviously had a great season in the National League North. Again, it's quite similar to South Shields now. I feel as if that Morpeth squad's at a crossroads, and we've seen a few players have been released, a few players have been allowed to move on. Some big players as well, like Liam Henderson, obviously gone to heaven. Joe Walton's gone to heaven as well, and Wayne Phillips. So it does feel a big summer for them. I think they'll want to bring down the average age of the squad because it was quite an ageing squad, with all due respect to the players. So both clubs are kind of they're in a similar place. With South Shields, again, I keep saying this, but it is very similar, where Kevin Phillips is going to want to put his own stamp on that squad. And they brought in Mackenzie Heaney, who I think is a very, very good signing, who weirdly I'm about to speak to in about an hour's time.
Oh.
But Mackenzie is a very, very talented player. Looked as if he was drifting out of football when he was released by Newcastle, went into the Northern League. I wouldn't say lit anything up there, but got a move back into the pro game with York and did very well there. He's obviously with South Shields full-time again after having a loan spell at Buxton. And I think he's the sort of player, for me, South Shields need young, hungry, you know, players that want to establish themselves and make a name for themselves. And I'm really intrigued to see what Kevin Phillips does. I think it's well-versed that he doesn't have a non-league background other than the early part of his playing career. So I'm intrigued to see where he goes for players, what contacts he's got. I'd imagine, you know, the pro clubs that he's worked at, he may well look at players that have come out of there. Out of their academies, or you know, released kind of players that have been on the periphery of the first team, you may try and get them. So it's going to be interesting to see what their recruitment looks like.
And you've touched upon it already, but you mentioned Eben Town and attracting players away from Step Three, and that just takes me to a brief discussion we were having when we were recording the main show this week, just about how the geographical line of what's considered the north of England is moving ever so slightly more northern as the season progresses. And you know, that takes me to the likes of Hebburn. We've already spoke to North Shields. We're hoping to speak to Consett as well at some point. But, you know, Dunstan, Stockton, Mass United, Shildon. I mean, we had a chat about this and how Step Four's becoming, you know, a bit of a hotbed for North East football now. Do you see that continuing this season, and you know, the likes of Shildon and Stockton building on what was a great year, and you know, the likes of North Shields and Consett and maybe Hebburn Town now with the recruitment they've made, putting themselves in to consideration for the playoffs and promotion out of the East Division next season, do you feel?
I think in terms of the league moving further north, there's a few clubs in the National League North push that would happen, looking at what's in there this year. But yeah, that East Division, it's a really intriguing year this year. I mean, North Shields have gone up, deserving Northern League champions. But I feel like both them and Consett may well need a couple of years to adjust at this level. I don't think we'll see what Stockton did last year or what Shildon did last year. I just think they may well need to do kind of similar to what Dunstan did when they first came up, where they were, you know, mid-table, just got used to the level, used to the additional travel, used to the increase in playing standards. I can see that happening for both of the newly promoted clubs. In terms of our other clubs up here, I'll call this early. Stockton are my tips to win that league this year. I don't think Michael Dunwell will take kindly to hearing that, but I do think they were the best of the rest last year. They've had a bit of a rejig of the squad, brought in some good players, like Stephen Thompson, who's obviously a great player with Darlington in the National League North, and Spennymoor as well. They've signed a young lad called Elliot Beddow, who scored goals for fun in the Northern League with Thornaby. So they made some really canny little additions, and I really feel as if Stockton will be the ones to watch this year. Shildon and Hebburn's a little bit different. We'll probably put them in the same boat simply because they've both had managerial changes. There'll be new signings coming, so it's probably going to be a sort of wait and see for them, just to see how that pans out. And inevitably being brought back to South Shields here, but when it comes to Dunstan, they've obviously made one signing so far, which is John Shaw, who captained South Shields on a number of occasions, will be a big player for Dunstan, who showed signs last year that they can challenge for the playoffs, but maybe were just hampered by a lack of inconsistency. That's something Chris Wheels will want to address this year. So I think for me, just looking at the area as a whole, I think Stockton will be the, as I say, the tips for the title. I can see Dunstan being around the playoffs, and the other four, it's kind of just a wait and see how they start, I think.
Just before we go, I just want to get your thoughts on, we're drawing up a shortlist. It's an unofficial shortlist. No one wins awards on this show this season. But just for the manager of the year kind of thing. And I think we've got to consider Craig Lynch, haven't we, for what he achieved in the cup competitions and what he achieved at Morpeth. What's your thoughts on his inclusion in our shortlist, if that's the way we think we should go this year?
Well, if you're looking at win percentages, he's probably not far short of near the top, I would imagine. And it's a difficult one because you look, you know, we talk about Buxton, but obviously they had a managerial change. You know, normally a manager that wins a league title wins the manager of the year, but it's a little bit different with them.
There is that, but that is a tough gig though that Steve Cunningham had, because there was like an upturn, wasn't there? Then a big slump, and at that point you could say the wheels were coming off. He managed to get the wheels back on again, which is some achievement.
So yeah, I think honestly he did an unbelievable job and probably should be there or thereabouts for this. But yeah, I think Craig, you know, when he took over, they hadn't won a game in the league. I think it was Witten beat them in the last game under Stephen Turnbull. Sat in the relegation zone. Things didn't look great. Had a few players out injured. And Craig came in and you know, I know Craig pretty well. I've gotten on very well over the last sort of 3-4 years, and he's just cool, calm and collected. He doesn't get carried away. He doesn't, you know, the highs aren't too high, the lows aren't too low. He didn't go there and, you know, shout down the dressing room. He just sort of went in and made a couple of changes, nothing major, but just, I think that carbon influence maybe just settled the place down a little bit and really helped them sort of getting their feet. But as you say, I mean, to come within 90 minutes of getting in the first round of the FA Cup for the first time in their history. And I mean, I was down at York when they played in the fourth qualifying round. And I still don't know how they did win that game to this day. I mean, they got back in it at 1-1 and then hit the crossbar, with about, I think it must have been about 2 minutes left. It felt that way anyway. And they had a great run in the FA Trophy. Again, beaten by York. I think they were 2-0 up as well. He's just done a fine job. As we've said and said earlier, the big test is lying ahead now. You know, what's gone on over the last sort of 9 months doesn't matter now. It's about what comes in the future. And, you know, as I say, Craig won't get carried away by anything. He'll be methodical, as he always is. And I am intrigued to see what he does.
Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. We'll continue our discussion for our, you know, standout for manager of the season later in the show. But for Mark Carruthers, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on every month this past season. It's been a long season, but me and Lee are still working for some bizarre reason, even though it's late May. It's June tomorrow, what we're playing at. But anyway, a big thank you for joining us, Matt. You mentioned an interview you've got, so the work doesn't stop for you. Just a quick plug for where people can read your words and your interviews and that kind of thing.
Pretty much anywhere that'll have me, to be fair. obviously, bits for the non-league paper, which does a fine job throughout the season and beyond, but also the sort of press in the northeast as well, Sunday Echo mainly, the Chronicle, Sunday Sun. But you can find my work, I'll be on Twitter at MarkCruthers_. Never stops really, and expecting a busy summer up here at all levels of the game.
Matt Carruthers there, football writer from the northeast of England. And Simo, let's just touch upon, I teased this, didn't I, towards the end of the season, talking about our manager of the season without actually giving an award to that said manager because we're cheap. I feel like we should have that chat now, if that's okay. I've been asking various people as the show's progressed, obviously, but Simo, who do you think's been head and shoulders this year with regards to managers? Because they've all put a shift in. I think I'm safe in saying that, every single one of them.
I've struggled to nail it down to one to be head and shoulders, but I do think there are, that you can make a shortlist. I think you can narrow it down to a shortlist. I mean, I think with managers, it's important to be a little bit more creative, because you see on those, like, all these kind of world player of the years, player of the years, and all, they always give it the leading score, and it's really boring, isn't it? And I'm reluctant to say that Steve Cunningham, Buxton should be manager of the year, because obviously he didn't do a full season anyway. Inherited
tough,
a team.
Tough job, though.
Yeah, I think he's an honourable mention. But that team was very much in place, and it was a case of kind of seeing it across the line. However, he does deserve enormous credit, as we've said on the show, for recovering from that six-match sequence without a victory at the turn of the year to then kind of steamroller their way to the title. Whether that was enough, would be enough to kind of crown him as a manager of the year, I don't know. I think the fact that they went on to be promoted through the playoffs, I think propels John O'Green back to the front of that conversation. Because they kind of sealed the deal. I went back just to...
It's two managers there we've mentioned who basically had storm in second halves of the season, didn't they, really?
100%. 14 Premier Division games unbeaten between January the 8th and April the 2nd. Unbelievable run. Kind of putting it in even further context. And Trevor Bull touched on this when you interviewed him shortly after the playoff final. They lost heavily to Whitby in a local derby on October the 12th, and Scarborough were 13th at the final whistle that night. And John O'Green, let's have it right, was bang under pressure at that moment in time, and the board of the committee at Scarborough's faith in him was fully vindicated with what he then delivered in the remainder of the season. So he's definitely got to be in with a shout as well.
Just to touch upon Matlock Town as well.
Yeah.
I don't think many people were predicting they'll be in the playoffs. Certainly not title contenders, as they were right up until about the last month. But Paul Phillips has done a tremendous job there.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important we mention that. And I'm glad that you did, because we kind of frame Matlock's end of the season as being a little bit disappointing because they were top of the table and missed out on the title and then lost in the promotion playoff semi-final. I'm sure if you speak to people around the club, they will have been certainly in the instant aftermath disappointed. But when you kind of now sit back and analyse kind of where Matlock are, they're another team that this is what their highest finish for a long, long time. I'd look this afternoon, and if they finished fifth in 06-07 and got to the playoffs that year, lost in the semi-final. And then you have to go all the way back to the mid-80s to find when they finished runners-up in the Northern Premier League when it was a single division. So that kind of puts into context just how well Matlock have done this season and what they've got to build on for next year. So yes, that initial disappointment, but I hope it's given way to immense pride and certainly some determination that they've got a really good foundation to build on.
There's a couple of clubs I think who we could safely say had surprising seasons, and I think that brings me to probably the first one, reading minds, Bamber Bridge and Jamie Milligan. I think Berkey came up with this stat a while ago, just about how many players Bamber Bridge have juggled with this season. He's done a phenomenal job, hasn't he, at Iron Gate, James?
He has indeed. I mean, obviously, he's done magnificently well to keep the team safe. Let's not forget, the start of the season, they were right up there challenging for the title, as were Lancaster, and wondering Matt fell into this at the same time. They both got a little bit unlucky losing the key players when they did. Because don't forget, you had start of the season Sam Fishburne, who got recalled after within a month of scoring 10 goals for Lancaster at the very start of the season, at Turbange as well, at Bamber Bridge. So had Bamber Bridge not gone on a little bit of a dip towards the end of the season, I truly think they could have had a proper go at the playoffs. They maybe even won them themselves that way at Scarborough. So
Just to cover off, we've already touched upon Whitby Town and South Shields, obviously, but Warrington, Matt Beasley, just a quick mention for him, Simo, because it was a bit of a smooth transition between Paul Carden and Matt Beasley with the help of Toby McCormack and everyone at Warrington. It was the smoothest of transitions. Proper, you wouldn't even know, would you?
No, of course, and B said that he had that conversation with Cards. His kind of work situation made it very difficult for him to follow Cards down to Shropshire. And once that became clear, that they'd had that conversation, and Cards had said, "Yeah, I think you can do it. I think you should go for it." And let's have it right. It could have gone horribly wrong, But massive credit to Mark Beasley. It kind of became an unofficial running joke that they've been in fifth forever, but that really is a compliment because he managed to keep them exactly where they wanted to be, and they almost got there within touching distance, weren't they? It was only that late winner by Bailey Gooder that settled the promotion playoff final. So Warrington so close once again, and Mark Beasley absolutely its central role in making sure they got there this time around. And again, he's another manager. If he can keep the core of that team together, we'll be feeling quietly very, very optimistic for next season. And they picked up Michael Howard from Sir Gelmansdale, who scored an absolute mountain of goals for them last season. So they'll be even more of a threat going forward if he makes that adjustment to the Premier Division. So yeah, they'll be there again next year.
So, honourable mention list, we discussed it earlier, but the Whitby Town double act of Lee Bullock and Nathan Haslam. Just to touch upon two other managers who finished in the top half of the table, Neil Reynolds, FC United. They came close a couple of times, but just fell short towards the end. But a big good luck, we should say, to FC United. They're in the final of the Phoenix Trophy next week. They'll be travelling to Rimini near San Marino. And we obviously discussed Kevin Phillips and South Shields in the show with Matt Carruthers. So we'll wait and see with South Shields what happens in the close season. But I read on Twitter Kevin Phillips has already made some signings. He's starting to shake the squad. But let's not name a manager of the season. Let's just name our top three in no particular order. And I'll try and adjudicate this without influencing you too much, gentlemen. But are we having Jamie Milligan?
Jamie Milligan. There's two names you've not mentioned yet.
I was going to mention Matt Hill at Stafford. And
I think you should mention Craig Lynch as well.
Yes, because I'd already spoke to Mark about it, which is why I've not discussed it here. But Craig Lynch, we mentioned Jonathan Greening's run. The job he did this season was tremendous, really. So... Can we have four mentions then? Because I do feel like we should mention Paul Phillips in the list as well. So
you need five mentions. We're not mentioning John McGrath here. At the same time, again, an Adrian Mickle over team.
It was a slow burner for them, wasn't it? And to get where they are 12th, which, as Simo says, it is a platform, isn't it? Definitely for next season. But sadly, it won't be in the Northern Premier League. So just to clarify, Steve Cunningham, Jonathan Greening, and then we're going with Jamie Milligan, Matt Hill, Paul Phillips, Craig Lynch.
Craig Lynch.
Yeah.
There we go.
And if you wasn't going for the golden boot at the time, Bobby Grant as well.
Yes. We did not really mention Bobby Grant because he also basically kept Radcliffe away from the relegation zone while scoring loads of goals himself, which, you know, fair play. Just to close things off then, now we've had that little chat, again, no awards. No one's going to Simpsons. You go to Simpsons yourself and just say, I got an honourable mention on the MPL show for the season. But a closing thought, really, Simo. How excited are you about next season and what's possible? Because some managers we didn't mention, because we're talking about the Premier Division, but Grant Black, an amazing job again at Belper Town. Warrington Rylands as well, and Dave McNabb, who, you know, in a league with Workington and Marine, Warrington Rylands got themselves into step three for the first time ever. So Neil Young, it was looking a bit shaky at Marine, but he's done the job. He's got them out of step four back into the Prem. Jonathan Rimmington at Liversidge, what a job he's done alongside Cal Jarrett at Mask. So, you know, there's managers there, isn't there, who, you know, could, if we were to extend this, would be in with a shout for manager of the season, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. And it neatly brings us full circle to kind of reinforce my point about because of that calibre of manager and obviously the calibre of teams they're going to have, it's going to make it so much more fiercely competitive in the Premier Division.
Well, that was the season. That was the 21-22 season. I've enjoyed this year, but I've enjoyed this chat more, actually, where we've looked back on it all. There's no stress anymore. We know where we are. We've enjoyed ourselves, but it's now time for a month off. Perfect. So we'll be back in pre-season, probably the first week of August, James. I think that's about the right time.
I was going to say, you've still got six managers to speak to, yeah.
Yeah, I know that. Listen, see that, everyone. This is what I have to work with. The welcome to the MPL shows. The welcome to the MPL shows that we've been doing. Those will be carrying on intermittently over the coming months as soon as managers come off the holidays and stuff. And we know where we are with league allocations and things like that after appeals and stuff. So look out for more of those shows. But we will be back in August for a brand new Pitching in MPL show where we'll be previewing the upcoming season. Big thank you to Andrew Simpson and a big thank you to James Hayes, but also a big thank you to Andrew Snaith, Thomas Feeney and Mark Rovers for joining us as well this month. But also a big thank you to all the managers and all the chairman and all the other journalists who come on the show week in, week out throughout the last 10 months. Is it really 10 months? Probably it's about 10 months, isn't it? A long time. So a big thank you to them and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining us week in, week out. But we're going to go now and have a lovely summer and you'll be hearing from us again very, very soon. Bye-bye.